I'd like to share with you our scripture, our sermon text for the morning, which is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Luke 12, 22 through 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise for this word, which calls us to live a life that we are not always comfortable living, a life that is somehow free from worry, doubt, and fear, a life that is resting confidently in you. Help us, Lord, to rest confidently in you, even just for these few moments. No matter what issues or storms or difficulties are going on in our lives right now, help us to center our thoughts and our minds and our hearts, even our bodies, right here in this place, so that we might be attentive to what you have to say to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in April, I attended a conference in the Washington, D.C. area. It was a conference that was focused on the writings of many important religious writers from history, Christian writers and writers from other faith traditions, writers from medieval times and writers from modern times. It was a very interesting conference. I enjoyed it very much. And the one thing I want to highlight right now from that experience was one particular prayer, a poem really, that I was introduced to. It was written by St. Teresa of Avila. Teresa was a Spanish Catholic nun. She lived in the 16th century. I get the centuries mixed up. 16th century means the 1500s. She lived in that time frame when the Protestant Reformation was taking place. She stayed within the Catholic Church and was faithful to God through that turbulent time in religious history. According to tradition, Teresa carried around with her a prayer book that had printed in it all of the prayers that she would refer to throughout the course of her day. And after Teresa died, people found in her possession, in her belongings, this prayer book, and inside the prayer book was a bookmark. And on that bookmark, Teresa had written this prayer. And so it's called her bookmark prayer because it was on her bookmark. It was, of course, originally in Spanish because that's the language she knew. But translated into English, the prayer goes like this. Let nothing upset you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything changes. God alone is changeless. With patience, all things are possible. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone is enough. One week after that conference that I attended in April was when our dog Jake began having his neurological balance related issues. And for a few very stressful days, we weren't sure if he was going to pull through or not. Thanks in large part to the miracle of prednisone, he is much healthier than he was just a month ago. But we know that nothing lasts forever. Everything changes. Only God remains forever. We know that. Teresa's prayer ran through my mind repeatedly during the time of Jake's illness, and it brought me great comfort. Jesus' words here in Luke 12 are very comforting for us as well. Do not worry. Life is more than food and clothing. Seek God's kingdom. Don't be afraid. So on and so on. From time to time, we all need to hear those words. And perhaps where you are right now, today, you need to hear those words as well. Worry and anxiety and fear are all very real experiences for us, and it's perfectly normal for us to struggle with those emotions, especially during times of crisis. So if you are in a state like that where the world is just kind of falling apart around you, even in small ways, I invite you just to take a deep breath where you're sitting and release it and settle in to hear what the Lord has to say to us this day. We shouldn't hide from our emotions, our experiences. We should acknowledge them because that's part of who we are. It's part of our real experience as human beings. But I'm not satisfied just stopping there. We could read these words from Jesus and say, oh, it's so comforting. Jesus says, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, trust in Him. We can take that as an internal reaffirmation of God's presence in our situations. And that's all well and good. But if we stop at the point where we say, this passage exists just to make me feel better, then we haven't allowed the passage to do all that it needs to do in our lives and in our world. There is more to it than just that. When we focus on ourselves, when we focus on our own problems, we reduce God's role in our lives to just providing us with emotional support or material comfort. Contemporary Christianity has done a tremendous job of inundating itself with this kind of therapeutic gospel in which Jesus exists simply to serve our needs, to make our lives better. I was curious about this idea this week, and so I did a Google search. I searched for the term, the phrase, best-selling Christian living books, just to see what kinds of books are out there and popular about how to live a Christian life. And here are some of the titles that came up in that first page of results. It's interesting. Each of these has a title and then a subtitle. There's a colon in the middle of each of them. Made to Crave, colon. Satisfying your deepest desire with God, not food. Another one, Your Best Life Now. You might have heard of that one. 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. The Broken Way, A Daring Path into the Abundant Life. Choose Joy, Because Happiness Isn't Enough. Let the Journey Begin, Finding God's Best for Your Life. When your world falls apart, see past the pain of the present. Now, I haven't read any of these books. Maybe you have. But just from their titles, I see something that they all have in common. They put me in the center of the universe. The reason I read those books is to make my life better somehow. We have decided that Christian life is all about God helping me to live a full, abundant, meaningful life. Surely these books are helpful to many people, otherwise they wouldn't be bestsellers. I'm not trying to say that they are bad books to read. They simply reinforce the orientation that we have already chosen. And that orientation is to focus on ourselves, to focus on our problems, to reduce God's role in our lives to meeting our self-determined needs. So what does Jesus have to say about that? How does Jesus' words correct that orientation? Just in this passage from Luke 12, we find Jesus reshaping and reshifting our emphasis away from us onto God. It's not all about us, it's all about God. God is the actor in these verses. God feeds the ravens, Jesus says. God clothes the lilies of the field. God clothes his people and provides for their needs. God knows what we need. How fitting it is that today, on Father's Day of all days, we read a passage that reassures us that our Father knows the needs that we have. Our role in this relationship is just to relax, to rest, to trust, and to release our control over situations that cause us to worry. Worry is a real thing. Some of us struggle with it more than others. It may be natural, it may be expected, it may be understandable, but it is not necessary. Worry is not spiritually necessary. It's not the case that we have to worry in order to make God arrive and meet our needs. We don't have to be afraid or discouraged so that God shows up. No, God is the actor. The only necessary thing is for God to invite us into his kingdom, to take the risky action of handing responsibility for his kingdom to us, his people. God acts. God is necessary. He gives his kingdom to his people. That's what Jesus says. And he even says that it gives God great joy. It makes God very happy to give the kingdom to us. It may sound like a whole lot of divine blessing coming our way. Seek his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Okay, great. But the purpose of God's kingdom is not to meet our needs. That's not what Jesus came proclaiming. When Jesus came proclaiming the coming of the kingdom, he didn't say, here I am and you're going to have all your needs met. You're going to have your best life now. He didn't say those things. He said, no, here is the kingdom. The kingdom is bringing freedom to the prisoners, bringing freedom to the oppressed, recovery of sight to the blind, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. That is what the kingdom is about. That is what Jesus came to accomplish. That is what characterizes God's kingdom, that thing that he gives to us. The role of the church is to serve and expand the kingdom of God. How we understand God's kingdom is crucial to our self-understanding, our identity as Church of God people, and more broadly, as Christians in 21st century American culture. Our relevance in this day and age hinges on lots of things, and one of those key things that it hinges on is how we understand the kingdom of God, what we understand this kingdom thing to be about. God's kingdom does not exist just to make our lives better. That's not what it's about. God's kingdom exists so that we might participate with God in serving other people sacrificially. It's no accident that immediately after saying that God has been pleased to give us the kingdom, Jesus commands us, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Those two things go hand in hand. The kingdom business is not about our own security and our own prosperity. It's about imitating Jesus, living humbly, sacrificing for the sake of those who are on the outskirts of society. It's about standing up for justice when justice is not done. It's about laying down our lives so that others might live. It's about storing up treasure in heaven, pursuing the kind of life that is really meaningful, a life that is spent in service to the poor, the abandoned, the neglected, the oppressed, people on the margins, people whom the world forgets. Worry. Worry only distracts us from serving in God's kingdom. This past Thursday, Melissa, my sister-in-law, and I had the chance to volunteer at a new ministry that's in our community. It's a grocery store. It's called The Bridge. You may be aware of this. You may be familiar with it. If not, here's what it is. It's really amazing. It's something else. I had not been there until this past Thursday. I'd heard a lot about it. But it's a grocery store that is directed at a group of people in our community that are often forgotten about. It's not the group of people that receive government support, food stamps, because that support is there. It's not the group of people that can afford to buy everything that they need. It's the group that's referred to by the acronym ALICE. This is something we had to look up because I couldn't remember what it was. Let's see how we do here. ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. Did I get that right? Yeah. Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. These are people who have jobs but struggle to make ends meet because there's only so much to go around and they have to cut corners. Well, you have to keep the lights on. You have to pay the rent or the mortgage. You can skimp on the food sometimes. Often people live from paycheck to paycheck in our community, and they don't always get to provide for their families in terms of the food that they purchase in a way that's healthy and meaningful, in a way that they'd like to provide. This is actually a large section of our county. There's the Bridge is a grocery store that has spun off of Messiah Lutheran, and they've done a lot of research into this. They found that one in three families in our county, one in three families in Midland County, are deemed food insecure, which means, it's a technical term, food insecure means, by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, it means that you don't have consistent access to adequate food because you're limited by a lack of money or other resources at times during the year. So it's not all the time maybe that you don't have access to food, but there are high seasons and low seasons, and maybe at certain points of the year you don't have the access to the food that you need. That's what's called food insecure. One in three families in our county is food insecure. That's what The Bridge is designed to meet. It's a new ministry that focuses on providing the opportunity for people to purchase food. It's not a food giveaway. And it's not a retail store. It sort of sits in between those. The prices there are not prices that you would see anywhere else. The food products are sold at wholesale prices, marked up just by a couple of pennies because they've taken on the ability to take credit cards and debit cards, and there are fees associated with that. So the 89-cent can of whatever is now maybe 92 cents. And so it's a little bit higher, but it's less than you'd pay at any other store. It's an amazing place. And all that they ask is that the people who shop there earn under $56,000 a year. That's sort of the ALICE cutoff point. A household of four earning $56,000 a year is in that food insecure location. They don't ask for proof. They don't ask if you've got a household. It could be just one person earning under $56,000, and they say that's fine. They want people to shop there. It's really an amazing thing. We were there on Thursday, and they had their largest sales day of all time. They've been on operation since December. It just opened in December. Just over $1,800 of products moved out the doors. And they said that, you know, we celebrate when there's so much food going out because it means we're helping to meet a need. And when things are slower, they say, we celebrate because it means people have enough and they don't have to come to the store. Either way, they win. And it seems to be a very popular, very meaningful ministry that is just now springing up. I've got a video queued up here that shows a couple of testimonies. Kirk, would you play that video for us about the bridge?
I find it to be a very helpful place for people who are trying to make ends meet. And, you know, they're working poor especially, but those that, you know, need a little help between paydays.
Because I'm a little bit down and out. I'm not down out bad, I mean, but down and out for temporarily. And I said, well, you know, I only had very little money on me, and I got enough groceries to last me until I get my Social Security check.
The bridge is all volunteer run, and so everybody who's here is donating their time, and they're from the community, they're from different churches, and they come in, they donate their time, and a lot of our volunteers cry with people because usually when we're walking out to their cars to load up the groceries in the cars, we hear the rest of the story. What else is going on in their life?
I was in the very first day they opened, and I'd seen the advertisement in the newspaper. And since then, I've come, I believe, every week.
And so what we've learned is that by feeding people, we're actually going where they are, in a position where people will be coming here because they need food. And while they're getting their food, they're really meeting Jesus, because all of us are really just the hands and feet of Jesus here.
The help is wonderful here, really. They've been very friendly and very helpful.
The love and caring you get here is better than you get any other store.
You can come in and get some frozen meat now, too, and which is very helpful. The packages of hamburger and that go a long way. This makes a difference in my life and in many lives of the people that I know around me and the whole community, really, because this is something we need, something we definitely need here in this town.
It's a place of health and love.
The bridge is located on Washington Street in Midland, right behind, across the street from the A&W, behind the Kmart. It's in the little strip there. Cafe Americano is in the same block. You can't miss it. It's open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Just those 3 days, different hours. If you have questions about it or are curious about it, I'd love to talk with you about it some more later today or in the future. If you'd like to volunteer there, it's super easy to volunteer. You just email the person who's in charge of it, I can help you with that, and say, I want to volunteer. And they say, okay, what's your name? And then you go to this website and you sign up for a slot, and it's super easy. And it's really a meaningful thing. It was a meaningful thing for me. I'm sure I'll be back there again sometime. If you'd like to go with me, I'd be glad to volunteer some time with you and walk with you in that store. If the bridge is a place where it sounds like you could shop, by all means, go there. It's definitely open to the public. It's not restricted. There's no stigma. You don't have to prove anything. You just go there. And make it happen. It's really the real thing. It's the real thing. And what it preserves is the dignity of everyone who shops there. That's the key ingredient, I think. There are food giveaways, and that's one thing. There are retail stores, and you have to save up for it. But this is something in between, where you can actually have the feeling of purchasing with your own money the stuff that you need. It just costs a little bit less. It preserves dignity in a way that's really meaningful and very important. So what do you worry about? Why are you worried? If it's not this ministry, there are dozens of other ministries that you could be plugged into to serve, to sacrifice for the sake of other people, to give of your time and your energy and your money and your resources, to help others live lives that God intends for them to live. The important thing for us is to examine our worries and anxieties in light of the kingdom of God, to look at our lives from God's perspective. God has provided for you and for all of creation throughout all of the long history of the universe, all the way up until today. keep your worries in perspective, and find a way to serve other people in the name of Jesus. Remember our congregation's vision. It's printed on your bulletin. It's printed on signs above either of the main exits. We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. Growth is key to this. Even if you think you already serve lots of other people in lots of other ways, look for more ways to live more sacrificially for the sake of the kingdom of God. Because I doubt that many of us have really put into practice what Jesus commanded us to do, which is to sell our possessions and give to the poor. I think we probably all have room to grow there. So, the question is, how will you release your worries? By participating in the work of the kingdom of God. As you ponder that question, let me repeat St. Teresa's bookmark prayer from 5 centuries ago. Let it wash over you and point you to the centrality of God. Let nothing upset you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything changes. God alone is changeless. With patience, all things are possible. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone is enough. O Lord our God, we give you thanks that you are enough, and that in you we can find all of the meaning and all of the resource that we need. Help us, Lord, to live lives that are centered on you and your kingdom and not just on ourselves. Enable us to sell our possessions and give to the poor. Help us to sacrifice for the sake of others, to volunteer, to serve, to give, so that others might live and might know you through our actions. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Bridge. We pray that you would continue to bless it and all of the other ministries that are food-related in our community. We pray, Lord, that the 33% of families in this county alone that are food insecure, that the word would get out about these opportunities so that there might be less insecurity and less hunger, even in our own neighborhood. Use us as you see fit to be the hands and feet of Christ, even in such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for all of your provision. It's in your holy and precious name that we